We are going to be looking at the fourth chapter, or at least some of it, and we are going to try to do some serious analysis in the process. Ve'adam yada et chava ishto v'tahar v'teled et kain v'tomer kaniti ish et Hashem. And the Malbim, on the spot, teaches us a few major lessons, and in the process also asks a series of very important questions. We already discussed that in Biblical Hebrew, what you normally do is you put the verb first and then the noun. Namely, you would say, Vaydaber Moshe. And you would translate that as not and, contrary to what many translations do or how you learned how to do it in Cheder, but rather, Moshe spoke. Because Yedaber is future tense. The Vav has multiple functions. It's an auxiliary predicate, and that auxiliary predicate in this case is a Vav Ma'apechet. It flips it. So Vayedaber means spoke, past tense, whereas Yedaber is future tense, and the Vav does nothing more than flip the future towards the past. And that's the difference between modern or spoken Hebrew, vernacular Hebrew, and the formalized Hebrew of the Tanakh, Lashon HaKodesh. So that is usually the way you see it. Vayomer Hashem, etc., etc. When you have Ve'ha'adam Yada, and it's crucial for you to have the Vav, Ha'adam, you have here, in fact, past tense, yada. And the vav here is not and. It's not a continuation of what happened earlier. It is rather turning it into the pluterperfect sense. Rashi, of course, makes a big fuss about it here. And he tells us, Ot kodem ha'inyan shelifnechen, before the issue that happened in chapter 3. Meaning, before the sin. And it is not just that they had relations that Adam knew at that time and she gave birth after the sin, but lehefech, v'chen ha'herayon, v'chen ha'leida, both the pregnancy and the birth all happened way before chapter 3. Now, the Malbim goes and tells us something here crucial. He says, she was not called Chava until after the sin. If you're telling me that this happened before the sin, why am I calling her Chava Ishto instead of just Ishto? Furthermore, in chapter 1, 2, and 3, I refer to him as Ha'adam with a definite article, the human. The human, as opposed to Adam, Adam, which is a proper noun. Henceforth, he says, we will refer to Adam as Adam and not Ha'adam. But when I say Ha'adam, I'm referring to the archetypical man, if you like, the model of the human being. And elsewhere in the Torah, whenever it will say Ha'adam, it refers to any human being, Jew or not Jew, male or female, any of them. So there seems to be a bit of a contradiction here. Ve'adam yada et chava ishto. And that is one of the questions that he raises here. He says, why am I calling her chava if this is before the chet, when it seems that it's only after the chet that he called her that? Or is that the case? If you will remember, Hashem brought before Ha'adam all of the animals and he gave them names. And the names that he gave them, in fact, indicated how he saw them, how he related to them. And that is the name that they were called. Prior to that, names were given by God Himself. So God calls the light day. He calls the darkness night. But later on, when it comes to the animals that are around Adam and the vegetation that is around Adam, he brings it to him to give names. Is it possible then that that whole little section at the end of chapter 3, which indicated that Adam called her Chava, ki hi em kol chai, is where in fact we are now going back to the story before the chet, and that this is not after the chet at all? That is number one. More importantly, he says, you will notice that in the rest of this story, we do not refer to him, to God, as Hashem Elohim. You will recall that in chapter 1, we called him Elohim. In chapter 2, we called him Hashem Elohim, right? In chapter 3, he was still Hashem Elohim. And now he's nothing more than Hashem. And she said, Kaniti ish et Hashem. Now, the term for kaniti is to acquire or to buy. But in the Lashon of the Tanakh, kinyan is not necessarily a purchase. It's an acquisition, and therefore not necessarily a case of exchange. And what is she saying? I, in fact, acquired ish, a human being, a man, together with God, and saw herself as a partner with God in the creation of a human being. That's why Chazal tell us that in the birth of every child, there are three partners: the father, the mother, and the Ribbono Shel Olam. But she sees herself as a partner with God in this issue. Kaniti ish et Hashem. Vatosef laledet et achiv et hevel. And she went on to give birth. And please notice carefully, here says the Malbim, it doesn't say she conceived. Vatahal. Only vatosef laledet, suggesting that they were in fact twins. So Cain and Hevel are twins and are foreshadowing the story that will come much later, and that is Yaakov Esav. Two sides of a coin, if you like. Now what we hear is that she named him Ishat Hashem. She gave another name for him. Ve'vayehi Hevel Ro'etzon. Ve'Cain haya oved adama. And again, what you're doing is, Vayhi Hevel is classic Hebrew. Classic biblical Hebrew. Hevel was a shepherd of sheep. Ve'Kain Haya. For Cain had been Oved Adama. In this, perhaps, lies a clue as to what their dispute is. Namely, Cain named for Kaniti Ishet Hashem, and Hevel, which in Hebrew means nothing but hot air, he is the come along, he is the secondary one. Comes the Rambam and tells us that for the Chaba, he refers to the ancient Egyptians, the first child was deemed as the demigod, conceived as if it were by God himself. In case you thought the Christians came up with the idea, this idea, he says, was a very ancient one. And as a result, the firstborn was dedicated to the Bechorah. The Bechorah was not merely what we later on hear as about a birthright, namely that you inherit a double portion. The Bechorah meant that you were going to be designated to the service of God. You were designated to be a priest for the entire family. That was the purpose of the Bechorah. So when Hashem says that Yisrael is Bnei Bechori, It is my firstborn. These Am Yisrael was designated by God to be the ones that would serve him for the entire family of humankind. And then what do we hear? Vayihi miketz yamim. It was after the end of days, and typically in the Torah when that occurs, it refers to the end of a agricultural year. Vayave Kain mipri ha'adama mincha la'Hashem. Kain brought from the fruit of the ground for God. Vehevel hevi gamhu. And Hevel brought him too from the firstborn of his sheep, Umichel vehen, and from the fattest of them. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ve'el minchato. And God turned, responded to Hevel and to his gift. Ve'el Kain ve'el Hevel minchato, and to Kain and to his gift, lo sha'a, he did not respond. Vayichar le'Kain me'od, and Kain became enraged. But I want you to understand that the word charon means to get hot, to burn. You could almost imagine his face getting very red, embarrassment, fury, all of them causing the face to get red. Vayiplu panav, and his face fell. Now I want you to understand that in Hebrew, face is always plural. For we have many faces. A pan is a aspect, a side. Your panim are many faces. You have your smiley face, you have your sad face, you have your angry face. The faces are what you show on the outside. And charon might imply also what is on the outside, or perhaps what is on the inside, but to some degree appears on the face itself, if you read the face. Says the Malbim, please notice that I only have Shem Hashem here. What do I know as the difference? He says, Hashem Elohim alone is merely the God that is the creator, the forces of nature, and the laws of nature. Hashem Elohim is a God at the same time who is the law, but still has a hashgacha, a certain protection, a certain watching. Who cares? But if I remove the word Elohim, and I only have Yud Kei Vav Kei, I'm left with nothing but Hashgacha Pratit, not only for the race Ha'adam, but for the individuals, Kain, Hevel. And as it were, God focusing on them and talking to them and caring about them and running after them and trying to appease them and draw them in to a relationship. Now, our questions that will occur later on is that Hashem responds to Cain's reaction to the fact that his gift, though on the surface it seems it came first, was spurned. Was his gift first? Was he the first one that came up with an idea of giving God a gift? And the question is, why? What was the purpose of this gift? Is this a human being trying to show gratitude? Or is this a person who's trying to keep the bully away, the force away? We would not know the difference except by the way this is structured. I want you to notice, and the Malbim pays attention to this, that we begin always with a chiastic structure. A chiastic structure comes from the word chi, C-H-I in Greek, which is an X. It means that you start with something and then you continue with the last thing you mentioned and then go round again. Watch carefully. She gave birth to Cain. Then she gave birth to Hevel. So it would be appropriate for us to mention that Cain was Oved Adama, since you started with Cain, and Hevel Ayaro Etzon. Instead, we mentioned Hevel, and we start with him, with the last first. Vayhi Hevel Roetzon, Vekain Haya Oved Adama. Ditto. Vayave Kain Mipriya Adama Minchala Hashem. Kain brings a gift. Hevel Hevi Gamhu. And what are we told? Vayisha Hashem El Hevel Vel Minchato. God responded to Hevel and his gift. And then you're told, and to Cain, he didn't. Again, you come to that X with what you started, right? You don't do that. You take the last thing first instead of first things first. Why is any of this happening? It has been argued that the first one that brought the gift was not Cain. It's his baby brother, the younger one. Vehevel hevi. If it is true that Vahadam Yada is past perfect, isn't Vehevel Hevi also past perfect? Can any of you tell me why not? Why does Rashi, who so much insists that it doesn't say Vayeda Hadam, but Vahadam Yada means Odlifneichen, why would we not say the same thing for Hevel?
Maybe once you say Gam Hu.
There you go. That's the reason. That's exactly the reason. Because it says Gamhu, he too, also him. We have a problem. Because you can't say also for the guy who came first. So how do I explain that it says Vehevel Hevi? Why not say Vayave Hevel Gamhu? If it's in that order. Explains the Malbim that there's two reasons for putting a name first before the verb. It is either to create the perfect tense, and therefore we say the Hashem pakad et Sarah. Hashem had already remembered Sarah, and she was already pregnant before the issue that came before. What was the issue that came before? And that was the story of Avraham and Sarah going to Avimelech, and Avimelech seeing her and bringing her to his palace. So God forbid, you shouldn't say that Sarah became pregnant by Avimelech. And it will occur in many other places that Rashi will say that. Why doesn't he say it here? And then why write it in this way? Explains the Malbim that there's another reason why we would put the name first and then put the verb. And that is to indicate to the exclusion of Vani Amalti Kol Adam Kozev. It doesn't only mean, and I had already said. It means, and as for me, contrary to everybody else or other people before me, I'll say all men are liars in Tehillim. Now what it means is, Vehevel hevi gamhu. Hevel, unlike his brother, did something different. Yes, he followed his brother, but he one-upped him. By doing what? It tells you here simply by contrast. Cain brought mipri ha'adama, from the fruit. And Rashi says, mikol ha'balayad, whatever it was, maybe it was flax. Why flax? Because it wasn't wheat, something he didn't want. Nadil, take it. I don't need it. In other words, it is a gift, but a grudging one. Oh, I have to send a gift. Oh, maybe I'll recycle something I didn't want. But on contrast, when Hevel brings, it doesn't just say mitzono. It says not only from his sheep, but miprotzono, from the firstborn of his sheep and from the firstborn ones. Michel Behen, from the fattest ones. He chose the best of them. In addition, it doesn't say Mipri Admato, from the fruit of his ground, from his field. In other words, from a hefker, from something that didn't necessarily belong to him. Whereas Hevel only brought what was his sheep. Hevel has mimicked his brother, but one-upped him and did better. Other Mefarshim, and Malbim quotes them, Gam Hu, is not only the indication also him, but he also brought himself. And what's the proof of it? Vayisha Hashem, God turned El Hevel. He responded to Hevel and to his gift. Because the most important thing is that he brought himself. He wanted a relationship with God. This was much more than payback. Or, as you might do, ancient people used to take the virgin and throw her into the volcano to appease the gods and keep them away from us. You kept them busy so that they don't bother harming me. Kind service of God had much to do with appeasement, with fear, with paying your taxes, and nobody pays their taxes as a gift. You do it because you don't have a choice. Whereas Hevel is giving a gift of himself. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam responds. But God doesn't give up on Cain. Vayomer Hashem el Cain. Lama charalach. Now, I want to put it very carefully. He didn't ask him madua. He asked him lama. Two words for why. Madua looks to the past. Lama is lema. For what are you getting angry? What benefit is it of you to get upset? Do you see how God, in a sense, is running after him? And then he asks him, Velama, and for what? Naflu panecha, did your face fall? It is beautiful because the Tanakh simply indicates emotion by how it appears on your face. So you can almost see the kid with his eyes fallen and his head down, indicating both anger, but I can't make eye contact. I can't look you in the face. I'm ashamed. I've been embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I'm furious. But more importantly, there's something here about the hiding. And I'm not going to show you my face. Which means I'm no longer open with you. Now there is a curtain between the two of us. Why is your face fallen? And for that, we come along in verse Zion, the seventh verse, to what is deemed as the most difficult verse in the entire Tanakh. I'm going to stop for a moment, and I'm going to summarize a wee bit about the fact that this story has more that is hidden than is revealed. There is nothing more than a smidgen here, a smidgen there, and so much that is left mysterious. For example, we know nothing about the relationship of the brothers prior to this incident. We don't know if they liked each other, if they hated each other, if they got along. We know nothing about them. We know nothing about the relationship of the parents to either one of these sons, unlike the story, as you know later on, of Yaakov and Esav. Except that we're given a reason about why his name is Cain. and Hevel by his name, he seems to be the second best. He seems to be the drag-along and a little bit extraneous, simply by his name, because that's the name they've given him. Moreover, we're told no reason why Hashem did not respond to Cain or to his gift. We're left to surmise that by comparing the two. Furthermore, God's discussion with Cain is perhaps among the most mysterious and troubling in the entire Tanakh. Let's look carefully at the next statement and you will begin to understand how complex this entire verse is. God turns to him and tells him, Halo, im teitiv seit, v'im lo teitiv, lapetach hatat rovetz. I'm not even going for the next half of the verse. We don't understand for sure how we should read this. Is this option A? Halo im teitiv, if you will improve. And I put three dots because the word teitiv is a transitive verb. It means teitiv what? If you will improve what? As then set. Now I have to figure out what does the word set means. V'im lo teitiv, but if you won't improve, what? As then, lapetach chatat rovetz. In simple analysis, you're writing your algebraic and formula, if A, then B, and if not A, then C. Is that what it means? If it's the case, we would expect to see after the word teitiv a stop. In Te'amei HaMikra, there should be a pause there. If you will improve, then set. And Te'amei HaMikra are our most ancient form of analysis of meaning in the Tanakh. Because without them, a lot of things make no sense. You see, you don't know how you should read the Ten Commandments. Do you read Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Or do you read Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Punctuation is the most important thing. And the punctuation of the writ is Misinai and overrides any commentary that comes thereafter. Our only problem is we don't know what set is. So therefore we go to option B, which seems to follow Tamei HaMikra. Halo im teitiv set, v'im lo teitiv, which means whether you do A or not A, it makes little difference. In any event, C. Now if that's the case, about what does the word set mean? That's our syntactical problem right here. In addition, we have a very difficult grammatical problem. Teitiv is a transitive verb. Teitiv means to improve, and the word to improve what? Now in English you say if you improve and you don't say what, it means yourself. So there's sometimes a thing called an elide. An elide is when there is a self-evident object. I don't need to indicate it, and I can skip it. Which teacher tells the student, if you will improve, then set. If you won't improve, then such and such is going to happen. And the word improve would mean yourself. A second problem is, lafetach chatat rovetz, at the opening of what? At the opening. So King James add the words, the door. I didn't know they had doors. at the opening of your mouth, at the opening of the grave, at the opening of what? Or maybe at the very opening. At the very opening of what? Of your life, of the story, of this saga. I don't know, but there isn't an indication of what. What happens there? Chatat, rovetz. Now we have a problem. The word chatat is number one a nismach. It means it's chet shel mashehu, right? Unless it's chatat, which is a certain kind of a korban. If it is not a nismach, it's the name of a sin offering. So we have a problem. What sin did he commit prior to this? That the chatat, is that a reference to the gift he brought? Furthermore, mirovetz, who is crouching at the door or at the opening? The chatat? Chatat is female. It should be rovetzet. So what is rovetz? What is crouching there? Rashi is aware of this. So he says, chatat is a general word for yetzer hara, and yetzer hara is rovetz. Fine, but we haven't mentioned it. You can't stick a noun to which the pronoun then refers. Then we continue. If that wasn't enough, ve'elecha tshukato, and to you is his longing, his desire. Whose desire? Whose desire is trying to catch up with you? Who? Hevel? He hasn't even been mentioned in all of this conversation. How can you use a pronoun him when you haven't mentioned his name yet? Ve'ata timsholbo. But you will rule over him. You will govern him. Who's him? The Yetzer? He hasn't been mentioned. Hevel? I don't know. Do you understand the problems that we're dealing with here? So we're going to look at some of our questions and try to see what various commentaries try to do with these problems. For everyone that we're going to get an answer for, you need to try to think through what is the fatal flaw in each of those answers. How did Rashi conclude that Cain brought a sacrifice from the worst of the yield? Well, we dealt with that one already. He did what? What did he do? How did he draw that conclusion?
He didn't say it was his.
Number one, it doesn't say it was his, but how do you know it should say that it's his? Maybe Cain thinks that nothing is mine. It's all God's anyway. After all, doesn't it tell us in the Torah that Adama, the earth, does not belong to you? The fruit that you worked on is yours. The earth can never be sold. It belongs to God. That's the Yesod of Shemitah. So why would it be his? It shouldn't say Admato. Piryo, maybe, his fruit, but not more than that. How did Rashi draw that conclusion? By comparing. If it weren't for Hevel bringing what he brought, Cain would look pretty good. Which turns out to be as follows. Teacher goes and tells somebody, that was a lovely paper you wrote. Very nice. And then she turns to somebody else and says, that was brilliant. Worthy of publishing. Absolutely marvelous paper, without a flaw. Should we be comparing one person to another?
No. And if two children brought their mother a gift, and one was really good and really talented, and one is just a half done or something like that, you'd never the mother wouldn't show a differentiation between the two of them. The sky.
You mean she shouldn't?
Well, right. Right, okay. She shouldn't.
Now, what happens if the kid who brought you a mishmash paper that was all scrumpled up and didn't look like much of anything was your most talented of the children? And the one that brought you a really nice gift was not necessarily the most talented. not the one that you had all your hopes on, then what would you do? Are we confusing our reaction to the Ribbono Shel Olam? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam do? To whom does God run after? To whom does he speak? And more importantly, what is Cain's reaction when he tells him, why are you upset? Why is your face fallen? There is no answer. He won't talk. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam continues to talk to him. It seems that the one that's getting all the attention here is not the kid that brought the good gift, it's the kid that brought the lousy one. Isn't it? He may not have gotten his gift accepted with great enthusiasm, because God's not going to lie to you, and he's not going to flatter you, but he'll run after you. But he got the attention, didn't he? He got the attention. And what does he do with it? We'll soon see. The syntactical problems we looked at, right? We've done this. So what is the meaning of the word set according to each of the following commentaries? Radak tells us, im teitiv set. He tells us as follows, im teitiv libcha uma'asecha. Do you see how he's filling the missing pieces? If you will improve your heart and your deeds, your intention and your actions, yelecha set, you will have set. And what word does he find for set? Pirush kapara uslicha. You will have atonement and forgiveness. Kemo nose avon. God lifts the sin. Because in the language of the Tanakh, every action that you take becomes like something that you put if you have a monkey on your back. There's another monkey. And then another one. And then another one. Because you are your behaviors. And therefore, consequences don't come from another source. The consequences are in the action themselves. What the Ribbono Shel Olam does by lifting up the sin is he takes the monkey off your back. He disconnects the action from the consequence. So, mechila, kapara, means I will disconnect. I'm not going to hold you responsible for what you did up until now and give you a chance to start all over again. So how would we translate it accordingly?
If you make good on your sin, then your sin will be forgiven.
Or good. What's the flaw in this? What's the flaw? Be critical thinking now. Tell me what's wrong with this Radak.
There's no sin.
What sin did we have? We don't have a sin, number one. So there's nothing to forgive. Now, what kind of syntax does he like? Option A or option B?
Oh, going back to...
Option A.
Yes. And that doesn't work with the trup, with the tamamika. Because his approach is, if A, then B. If not A, then C. And then he continues. Davar acher, imtetiv. And now he doesn't say an object for the word tetiv, because now he added the missing pieces. Improve what? And he said, your heart, your actions. Im tetiv, if you improve. And if I say if you improve without saying what does it mean? Yourself. Ani mochel lecha kol avonotecha. I will forgive you all of your sins. And what's the problem with that? Again, what sins? What has he done that's wrong? He furthermore goes and tells us, La Fetach? At the opening? At the opening of what? Le Pitrecha. At your opening. Chatat Rovetz. And he implies, at your door. Wherever you come and go. Shetikashel Botamid. If you don't get rid of this problem, you're going to stumble on it wherever you go. Betzeitcha ubevoecha. What is this? Ha'avon asher imcha, this sin that's with you. Tikashel botamid, you will stumble on it. You'll keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Ki'ilu even negif, as if it was a stumbling block. Kavua bepitrecha, that was set there at your opening, at your door. What sin do you think he's mentioning?
Ingratitude. I'm being ungrateful.
Or?
Mediocrity.
Okay. Or? Jealousy.
Does this have anything to do with his name? That the fact that he's his name is Kaniti.
It's mine! Mine! And all mine! Eisen! Yeah. Shelley, that's excellent! Medrash Rabbah comes along and says, the whole world was in front of it. And he said, this area is mine, don't cross my line. Have you ever seen two brothers? Don't move over on my side of the bed. Don't cross that line, it's all mine. This is mine, don't touch it. It's all about mine, mine, mine. And that kind of jealousy and selfishness, I'm the only one. Now, very appropriate to a 2 or 3 year old that suddenly gets a baby brother. And the worst of it is if the 2 and 3 year old sees a baby brother that everybody's going gaga over. And in this case, the parents are not necessarily going gaga over, but God seems to be. So we have jealousy and acquisition. Comes the Chizkuni. And he tells us as follows. Halo im tetiv set. He says tetiv needs to have an object. You need to improve the set. And what is set? Set, lashon doron. It means a gift. Kemo. And he found a place where it says vayisa masot. He was carrying gifts. And you know that when you brought a gift, you used to lift it up and hold it up like this. Here it is. Nay, take it. If you will improve the gift, shetachazor v'tavi doron mitkabel mutav. If you go back and bring me an appropriate gift, good enough. I don't want a mediocre one. Go back and do it again. You're capable of doing better. Turns out, God likes meat. He doesn't like vegetables. He prefers the sheep. He doesn't like whatever he brought him from the vegetables from the ground. Or the way it was brought. Or what the quality of what he brought. You can do better than this. And therefore the word set means gift. And if that's the case, the Chizkuni follows which option in the syntax? Set is not the consequence. So how should we read this? How would we translate? If you improve the gift, or if you don't improve the gift, you see, in his case, it says, if A, then nothing. If B, then C. He comes up with a whole different option. It's self-evident. I know why you're upset. You don't tell me that it's because I accepted his gift. Well, if you improve your gift, then da-da-da-da-da. But if you don't improve your gift, then what? Then mediocrity. Then jealousy. Then a relentless acquisitive personality that wants to have more, 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 and it's all mine, 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 will stand there all the time to trip you up till the death. That's the way the Chizkuni would treat it. Ramban goes a step further. Im teitiv set ve'al dati, according to my opinion, this is after he goes and tells us Rashi and everybody else, Yelecha yeter set alachicha. Im teitiv, if you will improve what? Yourself, because it doesn't say. And so it's self-evident, yourself. You will be yeter set alachicha. You will be one up over your brother. Ki ata bechor, for you're the firstborn. Vezet tam lamacharalecha, and that's the reason that you got angry. Ki biboshto me'achiv naflu panav, because his brother humiliated him, one upped him, outdid him. His face fell. Ubikinato mimenu, and because of his jealousy over him, he killed him. Vihine amarlo, God told him, Lama chara lecha lachicha, why are you upset about your brother? Velama naflu panecha mimenu, and why do you have shame because of him? Why is your face fallen because of him? Halo imtetiv, if you'll just improve. Yelecha yetel set al achicha. And where did he get the word yetel set? He got it from the brachot of Yaakov to his sons when he spoke to Reuven. Yetel set, yes, you're one up, you're the bechor. But pachaz kamaim. But you were as fickle as water, going this way, that way, whichever way the going goes. Ve'im lo teitiv, but if you do not improve, and the issue is not your gift, but yourself, lo ima mo bilvad tavo achara'a, it's not only with him that bad things are going to happen with you. Your brother is not the problem. Ki lefetach beitcha, because at the opening of your house, similar to what we saw with Radak, chatatcha rovetz, your sin is crouching, lahachshilcha bechol drachecha, to stumble you, to make you fall in all your ways. Ve'elecha tshukato. And now he goes a step further and explains the rest of it. And that sin, that kin'ah, that yetzer hara, wants to trap you, it yearns for you. Shehu yishtokek liyot davek becha kol hayamim. Who? The sin? No. Don't you see? It's your brother. Little brother wants to be just like you. It's your brother that wants to be just like you. That's why he imitated you. He's not one upping you. And if you're good, atatim sholbo, you will rule over him. Im tachpots, if you only want. Ki teitiv drachecha, if you improve your ways. Vetasirenu mealecha, and you can remove him from yourself, remove his superiority from you. Comes the Ramban, and that was what you were telling us, bracha, last week. Horeu ala tshuva, he taught him about tshuva. Shehi netuna biyado lashuv bechol et sheyirtze v'yislach lo. He can always repent, he can always improve, he can always undo the past, and then everything will be forgiven. What's the weakness in all of this? Well, what's going to follow can't be undone, you're right. But it hasn't been done yet. It hasn't been done yet. God is preempting the worst and still gives freedom of choice. So the question is, what's wrong with his analysis? It makes sense to say that if a teitiv does not have an object, we could say that it's reflexive, it means yourself. I get that. But to say, elecha tshukato, that it's hevel that wants to be just like you. It's Hever that yearns to be like his big brother and goes after him and wants to be just like him. And you will rule him over him only if you do what? If you're better than him. But if you're not better than him, he will rule over you.
Where is he getting that he even wants to be like him? Hever is a shepherd.
And he says the word. What words did he draw it from? Where did he learn it from? The words... Gam, who? He, oh, okay. Too. from the imitation. But go a step further. What's wrong with this? The idea of set makes sense. Yetel set, you'll be up. Comes Ibn Ezra and tells us as follows. Some say, set avonecha, I will lift up your sin, I'll forgive you. But we don't know about any sin that he committed. He says, oh, don't you see, set means to lift. And what was the question that he asked him a moment ago? Why is your face fallen? But if you improve, you can lift up your face. You can look me in the eye. I can lift up your face. It's almost as if God goes up and sees somebody standing in the corner scowling. Do you see how the word set also means to lift? It's a facelift. What's a facelift? Smile. What's a fallen face? Frown. Think about the smiley face or the frowny face. And the lifting up of your face is happiness, pride, as well as the relationship. How do I know it? Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. May God lift His countenance to you. He lifts His face to you. It means God's smiling down at you. How do you know God's smiling down at you? You didn't hit a single traffic light when you were on the way and running late to work. Everything you did succeeded. The sun was shining on you. It looked like God was smiling down at you, right? Life was good. In fact, what was happening to your face is as if you're projecting it to God. Panim el panim. How we see God is to a large degree how we see ourselves. If I say that God will lift His face to me, it means He'll smile at me. He'll look at me. Eye to eye contact. That communication that we have between us. Comes the Ibn Ezra and says, it was mentioning Yipol Panim. Set must mean set panim. Lift your face. He says, and this is an indication of shame as opposed to pride or happiness or satisfaction. And that's why when in the book of Shmuel it says, when I can't look him in the face, how can I watch him? I'm ashamed. Ech esa panai, how will I lift my face? And so therefore, what does it mean? He says, im asita tov, if you did good, tisa panecha, you'll lift your face. Ve'im lo, teitiv. But if you won't improve, then what? And now comes the big problem. As maze chatat, that is rovetz lapetach. I told you it was complicated, didn't I? We are going to continue in Mirtz Hashem next week, but I need you to understand that not for naught, most commentaries deem this the most difficult verse in the entire Tanakh.